Dr. Paul Conrad, who has been professor of chemistry for many years, and he has one of the finest websites up on the internet where you should really go to it. I mean, it is it deals with the issue of fluoride and how fluoride is impacting our society. Now, you have to understand that the people of Europe, the governments over there, want to protect their people. They know the disastrous effects of fluoride. The scientific evidence is all out there. And certainly, in only, I think, England has maybe 11% of its water fluoridated, and there is some water fluoridation in Ireland. But all the rest of the countries of Europe just will not allow it, nor will other countries throughout the world. Why? Because they want to protect the health of their people. And here in America, 67% of our communities are fluoridated. If you go to Dr. Conrad's website, fluoridealert.org, you'll get the truth. However, if you go to fluoridealert.com, which, of course, is where they want you to go, why, you'll get the official party line, because that is the website for the American Dental Association. They're telling you how wonderful water fluoridation is. Why would they set it up exactly the same title, except com rather than org? Very simply, there's an organized effort to keep you from knowing the truth, and that is the poisoning, in my estimation, the American people. Dr. Conrad, thank you so very much for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Glad to be here.
Now, are you still in the academia, or have you retired?
I retired in May, so now I'm working full-time on the fluoridation and the waste issues.
Well, I think it's really so important that you get the information out. So I'm going to let you just talk. You know, why is it that here in the United States, they're putting fluoride in the water, whereas countries throughout the world are trying to get fluoride out of the water?
Well, unfortunately, very early on, back in the 1940s, fluoridation, 1950 exactly, the United States Public Health Service endorsed it before any science was on the table, and it rapidly became the sacred cow of public dentistry and public health. And now the mental and dental establishment continue to say over and over again that it's safe and effective, safe and effective, and they're not keeping up with the latest science. I should say at the outset, to me, the strongest argument against fluoridation is an ethical one. The government has no right to put medicine in the drinking water, thereby depriving the individual of the right to informed consent to medication. They just have no right to do that. And particularly a medicine, as you said, it goes to 67% of the American public, and yet this medicine has never been regulated by the FDA. Can you imagine that? The most prescribed medicine in the United States has never been regulated by the FDA, and you will not believe the answer that they came back with. They say it's been grandfathered before we started regulating drugs, etc. This was already in existence. But when you look at what was happening before 1938, fluoride was being used, but it was being used as a rat poison. So the rationale for the FDA not to regulate fluoride as a drug, even over-the-counter prescriptions are not regulated by the FDA, is it was already regulated as rat poison. So, as I say, the ethical argument is always been strong. But fortunately, what has happened in this last year is the science has finally caught up with the ethics. The National Research Council was asked by the U.S. EPA 3.5 years ago to review the safe drinking water standard. They spent 3.5 years doing it. They came back with a 450-page report, and the conclusion was that the safe drinking water standard of 4 parts per million is not protective and should be lowered, and now the water division of the EPA has to do a new health risk assessment and determine what that new safe drinking water standard should be. Now, without bombarding people with numbers, let me put this into perspective. We have the Center for Disease Control, an avid promoter of fluoridation, saying, put fluoride into the water at 1 part per million. And we have the EPA right now saying, at 4 parts per million, you have to remove the fluoride because it's a toxic contaminant. So we have two agencies. One says, put it in at 1 part per million. The other one says take it out at 4 parts per million. Now we have the National Research Council, an arm of the National Academy of Sciences, saying 4 parts per million is too high. You have to lower it. We didn't have a margin of safety between 1 and 4 for the last 15 or 20 years. Now, even less of a margin of safety. And to put those two numbers into perspective, 1 and 4, let me tell you the level in mother's milk. I mean, this is what God or evolution, however you want to see it, this is what was determined to be the best meal for babies, what babies needed. And the level of fluoride in mother's milk is 0.004 parts per million. That means a woman bottle feeding her baby, or a parent bottle feeding their baby in a fluoridated community, is giving that baby 250 times more fluoride than nature intended that baby to get. And as far as the safe drinking water standard, that's 1,000 times. The so-called safe standard at the moment is 1,000 times more than a baby is meant to get, according to nature. So if you support fluoridation, basically you are saying nature screwed up.
Well, let's take a look at it. What does fluoride do to the mind of the person who, of course, drinks fluoridated water, and then we have so much other exposure to fluoride and being sprayed into our onto our foods and certainly many of the things we eat, and then of course the fluoride is in so many of the things we drink. If these products are made in areas with fluoridated water, I mean, what effect does this have on the mind, say of the adult, and on the developing mind of the child?
Well, that's a very, very good point. We are being bombarded with fluoride. We're getting fluoride from everywhere. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, right now, even the Center of Disease Control has conceded that over a third of American children now have dental fluorosis, which is the first indication of fluoride poisoning of the body. It's a mottling of the tooth enamel, a discoloration which gets worse and worse and worse the higher the dose of fluoride you get. But one-third of American kids now have that condition. So there's no question that we're being overexposed to fluoride. What's the problem? Well, clearly damage to the enamel. It accumulates in the bones. 50% go into the bones. It lowers thyroid function. Doctors in Europe used to use fluoride to lower the thyroid function of people with overactive thyroid glands. And studies from China indicate that it lowers IQ in children, and there are over 30 animal studies which shows that fluoride damages the brain. Now, the significance of this is as follows. The blood-brain barrier is not fully developed when a baby is born, so it doesn't have the ability to keep fluoride out. So going back to what I said before...
Hold that thought, will you? We'll have to pick that up after we get back from the break. Right here, the American Theater.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, I'm just standing back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Dr. Paul Conant, who retired as a professor of chemistry. We're talking about what impact does fluoride have on the brain. And Dr. Conant was mentioning that there are studies out of China that shows that the fluoride lowers the IQ, but there are at least 30 animal studies that show the impact of fluoride on the brain of developing brain of animals. So, Dr. Conant, please pick up the story there where we had to break it off before the break.
Well, as I was saying before, when we bottle feed babies with fluoridated water to make up the formula, you're giving the baby 250 times more fluoride than nature intended at a time when the blood-brain barrier is not fully formed so the fluoride can get into the brain. We also know from studies done in England that fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland, which is a very important gland in the body. It produces melatonin, a very important hormone that regulates various biological devices. It's like a biological clock. It regulates the onset of puberty, aging, sleep patterns, and so on. And in animal studies, again, fluoride lowered the production of melatonin. This could have very, very serious consequences. But this is being ignored. It's being ignored by the Center of Disease Control, the other agencies that continue to push this fluoridation like a religious crusade. It's not a scientifically based policy at all, and to me that's very, very scary. You mentioned at the beginning of the program that most European countries do not fluoridate. The vast majority of European countries do not fluoridate, and yet if you look at their tooth decay, as recorded by the World Health Organization, you cannot see a difference between their tooth decay of their children and tooth decay in the United States. If you come to the United States, if you do the largest survey ever done here, found practically no difference in tooth decay between those children who drank fluoridated water all their lives and those that hadn't. And so the whole notion that this must continue despite all these risks because it's so good for teeth is, again, a myth. And to add to the preposterousness of this, the Center of Disease Control, again, one of those avid promoters of fluoridation, has actually conceded that the benefits of fluoride, whatever they are topical, not systemic. In other words, it works from the outside of the tooth, not from inside the body. You don't have to swallow the stuff. And therefore, I mean, it's a complete nonsense. The moment that they conceded that the benefits are topical, surely that should have ended water fluoridation, because if you want topical fluoride, then use fluoridated toothpaste. If you put it in the water, you expose every tissue in the body, absolutely useless. It should be getting to the surface of the teeth, and you're getting all those risks for nothing. It's totally absurd. You mentioned our website, fluoridealert.org. I can go one better than that. If anybody listening to this program wants to get bulletins on this that I put out once a day, usually, sometimes twice, keeping people abreast of the fluoridation battle worldwide. There are campaigns going on in Ireland and England and Australia and New Zealand, in Korea and many other countries throughout the United States. Keep them abreast of the latest science and the latest efforts. I will send them free our bulletins, and all they need to do is to email me at paul@fluoridealert.org, paul@fluoridealert.org, and don't forget to spell fluoride, F-L-U, as in flu, fluoride, alert, F-L-U-O-R-I-D-E-A-L-E-R-T. We need more and more people looking at this issue with an open mind and getting the information, because definitely this is one of those cases where information is power, and lack of information allows people in white coats who haven't done their homework to tell you everything is safe and effective, or if everything is hunky-dory, when it actually isn't.
Well, now, my understanding, and you were talking about the concentration of the fluoride in the pineal gland and how this regulates the onset of puberty,
yes,
is that in areas where they have fluoridated drinking water, the girls begin going through their menarche at a significantly younger age.
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting point, because the first study of health in the United States was conducted in New York State from 1945 to 1955. It was overseen every step of the way by the Manhattan Project, that had a huge interest in fluoride. If you want to read about that, read the book The Fluoride Deception by Chris Bryce, and you can get the information that on our website. But what they found was that the girls in the fluoridated community, Newburgh, were menstruating on average 5 months earlier than the children in non-fluoridated Kingston. That was in 1956 that was reported. They didn't think it was significant at the time, but clearly, in retrospect, now knowing that fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland and lowers melatonin production in animals and indeed reduces the time to puberty in animals, this was a very striking finding indeed.
Now, of course, you mentioned that there are a number of animal studies that show the impact of fluoride on the brain of developing animals and on the brain of adult animals. What sort of things did they find in animals? What effect did the fluoride have on the laboratory animals that were examined?
Yeah, well, here's a very important paper that was printed, was published in the Brain Research in 1998 by Varner, V-A-R-N-E-R, and co-workers. And what they found, they gave rats one part per million fluoride in their drinking water for 1 year. So they were given the same level of fluoride that we get, one part per million, in their drinking water for 1 year. And what they found was kidney damage, brain damage, a greater uptake of aluminium into the brain. I think you say aluminum, but it should be aluminium into the brain.
Well, we Americans don't really pronounce things quite correctly.
Increased uptake of aluminium into the brain and beta-amyloid deposits, which are characteristic of Alzheimer's disease. So we have two concerns here. What does this do to the young brain of the young baby? And what does it do to the old brain if you drink fluoridated water all your life? Are you accumulating more aluminium? Are you causing the effects of Alzheimer's disease? I mean, it's a very, very serious issue. And wouldn't you think, even just exercising the precautionary principle, that someone would say, well, this isn't absolutely proved, is it? I mean, these are rats. These are not humans. But surely, isn't that a sufficient red flag to say, wait a moment, here we're putting into the drinking water of every man, woman, or child in the United States where we can, at least 67% of the population is getting this, and we've got some evidence that it might be causing Alzheimer's disease? Wait a moment. And why are you doing this? To save maybe as much as 0.6 of one tooth surface out of 128 tooth surfaces in a child's mouth, and the mechanism is topical, and people are not being asked if they want this or not? I mean, this play could have been written by Kafka or George Orwell or somebody else. I mean, this is, to me, it's absolutely absurd. It is perhaps the silliest practice that we have ever embarked upon in this country. We've been doing it for over 50 years. And one of the reasons they get away with it is because you have these people with white coats. It's supported by the U.S. Public Health Service. And people that don't want to think, people that don't want to read anything, just take the word of these government officials without thinking. And it's a tragedy, in my view, an unnecessary tragedy. This is totally unnecessary. This policy is as easy to stop as turning off a tap. Tell me one other major health issue that you can solve simply by turning off a tap. And if you do that, you actually save money. You save all the money being spent on the chemicals added to the water, all the money spent on testing the water, all the money spent on promoting this, defending it, studying it. This would be that money should be going into where it should be spent on getting better dental care for poor kids, better diet, better education in schools for better diet and better habits in terms of brushing after meals and flossing and not drinking all that sugared water and all those candies and everything else.
Well, now, what about the, at least in the animals, what about the incidence of ADH and attention deficit disorders and attention deficit hyperactivity disorders? Did it have any effect on the, on the outlook, on the performance of the animals?
Yes, there was a very, very important study published in 1995 by Phyllis Mullinex and co-workers at the Forsyth Dental Center, which is now part of the Harvard Dental School. She found that if she dosed the animals before they were born, in other words, the pregnant rat was given fluoride, then it made the animals hyperactive when they were born. They displayed the activities associated with hyperactivity, overactivity. And if she gave it to the animals when they were young, after they were born, they displayed the effects of hypoactivity. So overactive if you get it when you're a fetus, and underactivity if after you were born. Now, that study used fairly high doses of fluoride, and it's interesting to know what happened. This is where the politics comes in, because what happened to Phyllis Mullinex after that was accepted for publication? They fired her. The chairman of the toxicology department, the first toxicology department in any dental school in the United States, who was brought in to study the psychological mental effects of the various chemicals used in dentistry. She'd never taken a position on fluoride. As far as she was concerned, it was good for teeth, and that was it. She does this study, open-minded, with fluoride on rats, finds this effect, publishes it, and they are fired. And she's told that your work is no longer relevant to dentistry. I mean, this is where the politics comes in. And if we want to jump forward to more recent times, in 2001, a research graduate student at Harvard Dental School found an association between young boys drinking fluoridated water and an increase in osteosarcoma, which is a rare bone cancer but is frequently fatal. A 5- to 7-fold increased risk of getting osteosarcoma for young boys drinking fluoridated water in their 6th, 7th, and 8th years compared to a boy that didn't. An extraordinary finding. That's the science. The politics is that her boss, Professor Chester Douglas, hid that from the public. He was giving talks in England. He was writing letters to the National Research Council and to his funders at the NIH, saying that his work showed no association between fluoridation and osteosarcoma, even while his own graduate student, whose PhD thesis he signed, had found that there was a relationship. Again, science says one thing, politics says the other thing. And whilst we're at it, talking about politics, why on earth would the National Institute of Health even consider for one moment asking somebody in a dental school who is pro-fluoridation to investigate, to spend millions of dollars investigating a possible relationship between fluoridation and bone cancer in boys, in children, knowing full well if that result is found, it kills fluoridation. So you give it to somebody that is a known promoter of fluoridation, who's a consultant for Colgate toothpaste, and you are expecting an objective reply, and when in fact one of his graduate students finds the truth on this thing, he then hides it from the public. Now, the great Harvard University, whose motto is Veritas, which means truth, investigated this matter for 13 months and declared that their professor didn't do this intentionally. Now, give me a break. I mean, what are they saying? Their professors are morons, that they can sit on something for 3 years and not know that it's happened, and not being able to tell people that it's happened? I mean, again, I mean, how much shocking news do you want before breakfast?
We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Paul Conner as we describe what I believe is going on is poisoning the American public and the minds of our children.
I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
Hi, this is Michael at KHNC Radio, and I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
Veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, can a vet use a benefit more than once?
Yes. If a veteran had a house with a VA loan and sold it, he can qualify for a new VA loan.
So veterans, learn more about your benefits and call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
Here at the American Freedom Network, or I guess this morning, Dr. Paul Conner, we're talking about the politics of water fluoridation. We're also talking about the devastating impact of water fluoridation on the health of our people. We've already talked about its effect on the mind and certainly its relationship to some of the plaques that we see so characteristically in Alzheimer's disease. And certainly, isn't Alzheimer's disease on the increase across America?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, some people look around, they say, well, we've been fluoridated for 50 years, 60 years, and I don't see any problems. Well, of course, you know, the most dangerous chemicals are those that have subtle effects, long-term subtle effects. The easiest chemicals to detect which have a problem, the ones which kill you or cause acute problems. When people start falling down in the street, everybody knows there's a problem. But when the problems take a long time, possibly to accrue, or they are subtle and require very, very good testing and very good science, takes much longer to prove the effects, by which time, of course, many millions of people have been impacted, which may well be the case with Alzheimer's disease, may well be the case with arthritis, with hyperthyroidism, and a number of other things, bone fractures, increased hip fractures, and so on. Now, the real problem here is that once the U.S. Public Health Service endorsed fluoridation to fight tooth decay, they really stopped looking at the health issues. They haven't done the most basic things that you would expect, anybody, I think, would have expected to have happened by this time. For example, there's never been a comprehensive study to see how much fluoride is actually accumulated in the bones of the American people, even though we know that 50% of the fluoride that we take in each day essentially accumulates in our bones. You would think by now, after 50, 60 years of this stuff, that we would have literally millions of data points, millions of bones from autopsies and operations which have been analyzed for fluoride. We have, I think, in the United States, about 100 data points. It's unbelievable. And therefore, when you come to do epidemiological studies, you have no way of gauging, no way of relating the health problem with the exposure of the individual to fluoride. So, is there a relationship between fluoride and arthritis? We have 68 million American adults with arthritis in this country, one in three adults. And if you ask the doctor, what causes arthritis, the doctor will have to tell you, he says, we don't really know, but we think it's got something to do with aging. Well, the first symptoms of fluoride's damage to the brain is aching joints and aching bones. That's the first symptoms of arthritis. So the first symptoms of fluoride poisoning of the bones, where fluoride accumulates, are identical to arthritis. And because the government has never done a serious study on this, nobody is being told that this is what you should look at. In other words, when a patient reports with arthritic pains to a doctor, one of the first things the doctor should do is to get a fluoride level in their urine to see whether they're being overexposed to fluoride. Not done, because doctors are not being trained to do this. And why are doctors not being trained to do this? Because the health service has made any challenge of fluoridation taboo. This is a sacred cow, and if you challenge it, you can lose your job, you can be ostracized, you can be intimidated. That's what happens to dentists, that's what happens to doctors, that's what happens to researchers in this country, and quite frankly, it's sickening.
Yes, I'm sure you probably know Dr. Harvey Leinbach, right, up at the University of Toronto, on the staff there. I tried to get him to come onto my radio programs. He had written and given lectures on the danger of water fluoridation. He said he had been ordered not to speak out. He was threatened and told he'd lose his job. He said, I cannot come on to your radio program. You can see what I've written up on the Internet. But he had been threatened and intimidated into remaining silent. This is the sort of thing that goes on in America and, of course, in Canada today. And people who do speak out, if they're in a position where they can get them, they'll get them.
Yeah, I know Hardy very, very well. He's one of my heroes. I think he's a remarkable man. He was Canada's leading dental researcher. He was the president of the Canadian Association for Dental Research. He's the head of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto. He's a practicing dentist. For a long time, he promoted fluoridation. But he was shocked to discover that the chemical that they're using to fluoridate the water is not pharmaceutical grade. It's actually a waste product, a hazardous waste product from the phosphate fertilizer industry. They can't dump this wretched stuff into the sea by international law or locally, but they are allowed to dilute it down with our clean water down to one part per million. It's an extraordinary situation, but you're absolutely right. When he came out against fluoridation and changed his mind, and the other thing, of course, is when he discovered that the benefits of fluoride are topical and not systemic, he drew the obvious conclusion that we shouldn't then therefore be putting in the drinking water. He was, yes, one of his colleagues tried to have him disciplined at the university and scared him silly. I mean, his whole career was being threatened because he had told the truth. He'd changed his mind. Well, you know, in science, You're allowed to change your mind. One ugly fact can destroy a beautiful theory. I've forgotten who said it. I think it was Pascal that said that. One ugly fact can destroy a beautiful theory. And that one of those ugly facts was the fact that its mechanism is topical, not systemic. Another ugly fact is we don't use pharmaceutical-grade fluoride. We use a hazardous waste product from the phosphate fertilizer industry. Another ugly fact is that in animal studies, it causes symptoms like Alzheimer's disease. Another ugly fact is it's been used by doctors in Europe to lower thyroid function. And another ugly fact is that it lowers IQ in children in China. So, I mean, there are many, many ugly facts that should have overthrown fluoridation many, many years ago. But those who are opposed to it, like myself, are denigrated. We're treated as if we are members of the Flat Earth Society. And but fortunately, the good news is that the National Research Council, one of the meccas of research in the United States, has now come out and said the safe drinking water standard is too high. You need to do another assessment to determine a new health, new safe drinking water standard. And I firmly believe if this is done honestly, if science wins out over politics, then the new safe drinking water standard goal, the goal is the science, the MCLG, it will be less than one, and that will kill water fluoridation. So we're very, very close to the end of fluoridation if good science can prevail over bad politics. And anybody who's listening to this, if you want to make a contribution to this whole issue, please write to your senator or congressman and get into discussion with them. I don't think you'll persuade them with one letter that fluoridation is bad. But if you can open up their minds and ask them to read the report from the National Research Council, ask them to go to our website and just get them thinking about this issue, that would be a tremendous contribution. And if you do get a good positive response, just that they will look into this issue, they will study it with an open mind, they won't just take the statements from the white coats at face value, please let me know, because this will be important information.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Last session with Michael Collins.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Well, I'm not accurate. Freedom Network, I guess, is one of Dr. Paul Connett's website. It is fluoridealert.org. Fluoridealert.org. Do not go to fluoridealert.com. It is a trap. It's put up there just to confuse people. Fluoridealert.org. Now, what about the effect on the heart? Are there any studies that suggest there may be any cardiac problems with a fluoride and fluoride poisoning?
Well, I think that's an issue, Dr. Stan, with acute doses. For example, if workers have been, and so have children in some cases, exposed to hydrofluoric acid, in this case, the hydrogen fluoride goes straight through the membrane, straight into the bloodstream at high concentrations, and it can kill, and it does so by shutting down the heart muscle. And because fluoride interferes with calcium, and calcium is really important for that neuromuscular junction. So that's how fluoride can actually kill somebody. However, I don't think there's a huge amount of evidence that low doses in the water supply necessarily cause heart conditions. In fact, some studies from Finland indicate the opposite, that there may be a slight protective effect, and it's not clear whether it's the fluoride. There's a study from Finland. It's not clear if it's the fluoride which is slightly protective against heart conditions, or whether it's the harder water with the more calcium in it which is protective.
Go right ahead.
No, I was saying I don't think that's one of the ailments on the top of our list. And in fact, when you think about it, if all you're doing is to try to fight tooth decay, and the evidence is very little saving in tooth decay from fluoridated water, then you don't need many health effects to say that's a bad idea. In fact, the first mandate of medicine, as I think you're well aware, is first do no harm. And then the moment the FDA, who hasn't studied the issue, the moment that anybody discovers that there is a potential health problem, that should immediately shut down the notion of adding it to the drinking water of every man, woman, and child. I mean, think about it. Let's ask anybody, ask any doctor, any citizen, what's wrong with putting medicine in the drinking water? Think about it. Why don't we do it for any other drug? Why don't we put Viagra or vitamin C, health drug, you know, drugs which reduce cholesterol? Well, all kinds of things that you put into the drinking water. If you ask the average person, why wouldn't you do that? You say, first of all, well, you can't control the dose because people drink different amounts of water. Well, that's a big problem. You can't control the dose. Second problem is some people might be sensitive to it, absolutely. Some people might be much more vulnerable than others. If you put it into the drinking water, you're giving it to young children, elderly people, people with impaired kidney function. There's all kinds of reasons why we do not give drugs to everybody, because of side effects, because of different sensitivities, different vulnerabilities. And yet, this is the one exception. We put this drug, this medication, in the drinking water. And the people that are saying, yes, we will put this into the drinking water, by and large, have no medical training. We are asking butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers whether they're going to put this drug into the drinking water of everybody in their community, whether it's a village, a town, or a city. This decision is being made by untrained people. There is, of course, one other argument, that there's no oversight on the individual. When a doctor gives a drug, I mean, I'm telling you this, Dr. Stan, you can tell me this. You know, when a doctor gives a drug to a patient, they observe the patient. They see what dose the patient should be getting. They look for side effects. And if they see them, they stop it or they lower the dose. None of that is happening with fluoride in the drinking water. In fact, the government is doing the very opposite. They're not looking for problems. They want to believe that somehow this drug can only improve teeth and cause no other harm in the body whatsoever. That is not science.
Well, now, of course, you mentioned that the what is really being put into most drinking systems is this waste product from the fertilizer industry. Doesn't that actually contain lead and cadmium and polonium and all sorts of other things that are potentially toxic?
Yep. I've studied this issue quite closely. My son and I have flown over the phosphate fertilizer plants in Florida, Polk County, Florida. We've gone down on the ground. We've visited these plants. We've talked to engineers at these plants. This is what's happened. For about 100 years, the phosphate fertilizer industry devastated the local environment. It damaged vegetation, crippled cattle. And the pollutants that did that were two gases, hydrogen fluoride and silicon tetrafluoride. Eventually, they were required to put scrubbers on to capture those nasty pollutants. They used water spray, to capture these gases. And the end result is a substance called hexafluorosilicic acid, H2SiF6. This substance, this scrubbing liquor, is about 23% fluoride, is what is put into tanker trucks without treatment and sent around the country to be put into the drinking water. This has never been tested. All the studies have been done on fluoride. None of them have been done on hexafluorosilicic acid. But as you said, this phosphate rock that they're heating up with sulfuric acid also has lead and arsenic and even, would you believe, radioactive isotopes. This same phosphate rock has been used to mine uranium. And so you get the uranium radioactive decay products of radium and radon and other things in there as well. And the only thing which safety then depends upon is the answer to pollution is dilution. The notion is that once you've taken the scrubbing liquid and diluted it 180,000 to 1 with your own water supply, that the fluoride would now be down to 1 part per million, and the levels of lead and arsenic and radioactive radium will be so low it won't hurt you. The trouble with that is that there is no safe level for lead, according to the EPA, and no safe level for arsenic, and of course, no safe level for radium.
We're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us this morning. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a mile high energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Five.
done it this morning. We basically carry the book on the fluoride deception. It's must reading if you really want to understand how they're poisoning our children. But you must understand that the elite who run this country are intentionally destroying the minds of our children. And they're doing it with the mercury and the vaccines, and they knew it was terribly harmful. In fact, that's why they eventually took the mercury out of our childhood vaccines. But don't you worry, we're giving it to the children throughout the rest of the world, because the whole idea is to enslave the world, and they know the terrible effect of mercury on the brains of our children, and that is why the people of great wealth are financing the vaccination of all those little black children in Africa and the little brown children in Asia. You see, because we need a subservient group of people who will go along with the ruling elite. They understand what they're doing. They are evil. They know exactly what they're doing. They know the effect of aspartame on the brain and of mercury and fluoride, and that's why they're, of course, poisoning the minds of our children. A subservient society. You go back and you read the books. We have a book that was written in 1957, an answer to George Bernard Shaw's book, 1953, The Impact of Science on Society, where Shaw talked about through the use of injections, diet, injections, and injunctions. We will mold the mind of the children. Diet, injections, and injunctions, and the child will never be able to object to what he's told. They understood that. And, of course, the book was written 3 or 4 years later by a man named Clymer Swinburne, I believe it was, The Age of Treason, talked about how Germany used fluoridation in the occupied areas of Europe to keep the people in line, how the Soviets used it in the Gulag Archipelago. And our leaders understand what's going on. They just don't want you to understand. The book, The Fluoride Deception, the video that we've made, the DVD is not good, so we only have it in video, but it's called The Hidden Agenda. But the syllabus that goes with that is a must to have, because it has all the documentation that you need to begin to convince your doctor and your dentist and the others that they're poisoning the people. We have 2 4 tape sets on water fluoridation. We also have just on fluoride. We have an excellent DVD on water fluoridation as well. And they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And while our attention is focused on what's going on in the Middle East, as our boys die on the sands of Iraq and the mountains of Afghanistan, they're destroying the minds of our children in America today. We have the information on the mercury. We've got 4 tape sets on mercury. We have the scientific studies on it. The material is there. You need to get it. You need to help us get it out. If we could convince the people of water fluoridation, in any communities where they have fluoridated water, you'll find an increased level of lead in the blood of the children. There's no safe level of lead. Lead, of course, destroys the mind as well. In the blood of our children. Who would do anything that evil? Why, evil people would. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products
or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time